Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Fairground Park in North St. Louis is a sprawling, almost 132 acres that holds a significant amount of local history. Going back to the mid-19th century, the park was home to the St. Louis Exposition, which, by the way, came decades before the 1904 World's Fair. Through the latter 1800s, Fairground Park added popular attractions like an amphitheater and a natural history museum. And in the 1910s, after the park was purchased by the city of St. Louis, it's where one of the world's largest pools was built, a behemoth that hosted between 10,000 and 12,000 swimmers each day. That history makes it easy to understand why Fairground Park was once called the crown jewel of North St. Louis. There's also a more recent history that involves desegregation, white flight, and neglect that makes it hard for some to imagine a Fairground Park that shines as brightly as it once did. But there are others who are determined to bring back that shine, a new group called Fairground Park for All. Joining me in studio to share about the organization and how it's approaching revitalization of the storied North St. Louis Park, we have its founder and board president, Brian Lawrence. Brian, welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Also with us is Fairground Park for All board member and lifelong Fairground resident, Mary Wheeler Jones. Mary, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
And thank you both for being here today. Now, Brian, I gave a little bit of the history of Fairground Park in the introduction, but what is it that you can tell us, a little bit more of the history that you know about this park?
Well, what struck me about this park is it really tells the history of St. Louis, starting with the days of Western expansion and the prosperity that came to the park as it was a privately held park for the first 50 years, and some of the people of the founding organizations, they were so St. Louis in the sense that some of them were Confederate officers, while they had a Union hospital in their park. And so, it's this dichotomy that just screams St. Louis. And that carries on into the next century. As you mentioned, the exclusive white-only pool. And all the way to 1949 and the riots. And then to the next stage after that, which was basically the gradual neglect to where we are today. And so... Mm-hmm. And the neglect of North St. Louis. And so really, this park is St. Louis. And the question we have to ask is, what do we want this park to represent about St. Louis in the next 50 or 75 years?
Now, what it represents, Mary, you are a lifelong resident of the Fairground area. What are some of the memories that you personally have of the park? And what do you know of some of the history Brian has shared?
Can I make one correction first?
Oh, sure.
We're co-founders. It's nine of us who are co-founders of Fairground Park for
okay.
All. We all
yes.
got together and did that.
Okay, great.
Okay, I just want to make that question. So I have been living between the O'Fallon and Fairground Park, those two parks, since for 60-something years of telling my age. But I remember my church that I used to belong to is directly across from the park. I'm like literally on Fair Avenue. And we used to have Easter egg hunts, sunrise service, church picnics. I used to go over there and we used to watch our boyfriends play softball. When I walked to high school every day back and forth, we went over the bridges through Fairground Park to get to Beaumont High School. That was the only route. And we walked from the O'Fallon Park area all the way over through Fairground Park to get to high school every day. So, and now, today, I walk the park every morning. It's a bunch of us who walk the park for exercise between 6:30 and 7 o'clock every morning. So I'm very involved with Fairground Park.
When did that walking practice or habit begin?
Oh, I was doing that before I retired, and I retired in 2018. But so we've been walking ever since then, daily, mm-hmm. right? So it's always been part of it.
And Brian, you are not a St. Louis native. You grew up quite some distance from here, right?
Yes.
And how is it that you became interested in Fairground Park specifically?
Well, so I've moved to St. Louis four times now. And every time I come back, I kind of, you know, look around and say, okay, how's St. Louis doing? And you know, things have gotten better since the first time I moved here over 30 years ago. But when Sally Cohn came to me and said, hey, come check out this park, I saw an opportunity to address something that still needed to be addressed in my eyes, and it was doable. So there's so many things that can be done in St. Louis to make it a better place, but this was one thing. It's like, I think we could start an organization. This is very focused. We're not trying to change the world. We're just trying to change a park. And so it's this idea of a well-defined opportunity that attracted me to Fairground Park, saying, yeah, you know, and St. Louis is really good at this. We have a national reputation for urban park renewal, and it's obvious we all know about Forest Park and Tower Grove, and so we're really lucky. You know, we have these models right in front of us, and that's helped us so far. They're very helpful. We can call them anytime and say, hey, you know, we're running into this issue with the city. Well, how do you do this? And so, you know, it's just a project that's doable, mm-hmm. I hope.
And Sally Cohn is?
Yes. So she is a native St. Louisan who discovered the park, so to speak, when the Brick Line route was announced. So she and her brother drove the route, and, you know, they started in Tower Grove and ended in Fairground Park. And so then after that, she came to me and she goes, man, this park needs trees. This you know, needs something. And so then we went and visited, and we said, well, this is a regional park. Why isn't it as nice as the other regional parks? And so, you know, we just started looking around, and we realized it's because Forest Park Forever exists and Tower Grove Foundation exists. So we decided, okay, there needs to be an organization, a private 501c3, just like those organizations, to help get it to where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. No, Mary, you had corrected us. There are 9 co-founders of this group. When you first met Brian, what did you think of, you know, what he had to say? Were some of the things that he brought up part of the conversations that you and your walking group have had?
Thank you for asking that. Actually, we read an article, my sister and I, she's on the board too. We read an article that Sally Cohn's brother wrote. His last name is Shafley, her former name. He wrote an article about Fairground Park, and we cut it out of the paper. And it talked about how money should go to Fairground Park, the Rams money, and how it's neglected. And we're like, wow, this person gets it. Then, because we're very involved in very various community organizations, my sister met Sally, and then it went from there. And then we all met, then we met Brian, and it's a bunch of other us who, some of them walk, some of them don't, that we all came together and say, hey, let's create Fairground Park for All. And we sat around and came up with the name and the all part. So we wanted to know the people to know that it's inclusive. I don't care where you live, St. Charles, wherever. We want it to be a destination park. That's what Brian's big word is, also, a destination park. And my big word is I want them to have respect for the park. The park is totally disrespected. So that's how we all came together, through Sally's brother's article and meeting Sally at a community organization meeting, because we were all very involved in the community other than the park, mm-hmm. too.
Tell me a little bit more about this disrespect that you're mentioning.
The disrespect that we see regularly is how people just throw trash down. You know, trash cans are everywhere, but people still throw trash on the ground. The park is not, it could be maintained better. And we all, formed a relationship with the Parks Department and the workers in the park to let them know we are here. We're watching what's going on. We want to help you make this better. So hopefully you get more respect for the park and your job by listening to us and seeing how involved we are and how committed we are. Mm-hmm. So the cleanliness is my big deal. So we have a cleanliness campaign going right now.
And how many people are involved with that?
Well, it's part of the board and some other people who we're going to invite to join the board. It's about 7 of us on the cleanliness campaign. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so our goal is we're going to put new trash cans into the park, and then we're going to have an anti-littering campaign, because that's the most important part of the campaign, is the anti-littering.
Mm-hmm. So you, Mary, and Brian are part of this very large board. How did you go about, reaching out to people? How did the board come together? Brian?
Well, just reaching out into the community, going to neighborhood associations around the park, and just letting them know we exist and saying, come join us and if you're interested. And so that was the primary strategy, just going around the community and community associations.
Mm-hmm. And 7 of us live in the community still. Out of the 9, 7 of us live in the community, and we were already going to meetings, and we knew each other. We just didn't know Brian and Sally. Mm-hmm. So we got to know Brian and Sally, so then we all became one big family of the Fairground Park for All. So that's pretty much how it formed. We were the ones who were extremely interested in this concept, because I'm one of those who saw the master plan at Beaumont High School in 2006.
Mm.
So I knew what the potential could be and still awestruck by that idea.
So right. Beaumont High School, 2006, master plan.
Mm-hmm.
What did that plan look like? What did it include?
Now, you're taking my memory way back. All I can tell you was I was just amazed. It was trees and what we call rooms where you could go sit on a bench and have your own space, like Forest Park. It was like, I can't even describe how beautiful it was. It was just unbelievable. But again, that was almost 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just still remember not the details, but just the overall vision of the park.
So. And what did the community that you lived in, how did they respond to this plan?
Well, the people who were there, I sat on the front row, so it wasn't a lot of us there. I admit, I can't remember how many. Again, that was almost 20 years ago. I just remember sitting on the front row, looking up at the big screen and the renditions of the park, and just thought, this is unreal. I can't wait for this to happen. And then, mm-hmm. Little did I know, 20 years later, I was going to be part of an organization to revitalize that and update it.
Right.
Yeah.
And for your part, Brian, you've been involved with nonprofits, throughout your life. At what point did Fairground Park for All formalize as an organization? And why did you decide to become a 501c3?
Well, I think part of it is looking at the master plan from 06 and realizing that nothing happened. And in fact, when we went to see the director of parks and we asked him about it, he goes, oh, I don't want to see that. And we were shocked. And we but talking to him a little more, he said, we have a stack of master plans sitting on our shelves and nothing happens. All these well-intentioned people come and these things are drawn up. So the difference is, these nonprofits like Forest Park Forever, you need that. The city itself is not good at writing grants and doing all those things. So, it's kind of clear in St. Louis, if you want to renovate a park, it really helps to have an organization focused on doing that and working with the city, but doing that work to make it happen, which the 06 plan didn't.
Mm-hmm. Mary, do you have some insight into why nothing happened after 2006?
It's the same neglect we have in all of North City. Okay, so we hoping this is a catalyst to change the North City, that if this we get involved and make this park happen, then other things would happen, like new housing and businesses. And my big thing is, I like to drink tea. How come we don't have a coffee shop over here? Mm-hmm. So we hoping. So the same neglect of the park goes right hand in hand with the neglect of North City altogether.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was a new mural that was just unveiled. It was on September 2nd. And it is a mural by Fatou Kabir. Can you describe that mural for us, Mary, and why it is such an important part of where the organization is right now?
Well, that's a good question, because the mural was created after we did the barrels to butterflies. So those shamel barrels, those white barrels that's right. all over the city. Our idea was to revive them and put plants in them and paint them. And then a committee that consisted of Sally, my sister, and some other people that's on the board who wanted to create art. Sally was the big person who was really pushing that, and they all agreed. So they interviewed artists. And Fatou was the youngest one who applied for this grant to do this that we were offering. And she wanted to include the community. So she found three families in the community to help create the idea of how the mural came out, which is about unity and peace and love and hand-holding. So it was her idea along with the community. And they came and painted it, and we all helped out. I did a little bit. We all came and did a part in painting it. And so that's how the idea. And we want to show the community that we are serious about Fairground Park for All. And this is just a small piece to show you how serious we are. Mm-hmm.
And is there some work to convince people that you are serious?
Oh, it's a lot of work to convince people we are serious, because people just ignore the park. It's just not on their radar, especially since the tornado.
And they've seen kind of this story before. You know, 06 is the perfect example. I mean, it was really nice, but nothing happened. So it's like, oh, here we go again. So we won't have succeeded until we go beyond creating a master plan, which we're doing now, and actually doing something.
Mm-hmm. Now, this Thursday is an important date for the organization and for the community, isn't it?
Yes.
So who is it that should put this date on their calendar? What is going to be happening on Thursday?
Well, I'm glad you brought it up. So we're rewriting the master plan, and we're getting community input. And so this is the first meeting, a public forum, to bring the community, people who want to say what they think Fairground Park should be like, to come to the meeting and say, oh, you know, the pool should be this way, or the emphasis should be on trails. So, yes, this is a very important part of this process, and we need anyone, not just from around the park, but from St. Louis and the region, if they have an idea. Because one thing we've learned is a lot of people have a history, even if they've moved out west. It's like, oh, I remember my uncle buried his dog in the park. And so a lot of these people have stories, and we're asking them, come back and be involved and tell us what the park should be for St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Can I add to that?
Yes, sure.
And one of my friends who walked with us, he had his first kiss on the bridge in the park. So it's very important. I was talking to 120-something people today at O'Fallon Park about this, and I was telling them, you know, you have to tell us what to keep in the plan, take out of the plan, add to the plan. We don't want just 9 people making that decision. So please come to this meeting. And if you really like me, it's my birthday, so come on that day.
Happy early birthday. Well, and I think to end on a note about memories and what can happen, how soon would you like to see Easter egg hunts return to Fairground Park, Mary?
Well, we did have one a couple years ago.
Yes.
We did it with Mission St. Louis. So the Easter egg hunts came back. But I want to see beautification and cleanliness. And I want to see the 2006 plan implemented.
Mm-hmm. Now, just kind of talking about things coming back. So we had a Christmas tree lighting, the first one ever at Fairground Park this last year. And people came to us and said, I never thought it would happen. And so, you know, that's something we want to do again this year and from now on.
Yeah. Yeah. So trees and eggs.
Yes, trees and eggs.
Brian Lawrence is a co-founder and president of Fairground Park for All's board. And Mary Wheeler-Jones is also a co-founder and board member of Fairground Park for All and a lifelong Fairground resident. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Darius Farner.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.